Yesterday on Through the Bible, we learned the important first step towards revival. Today, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us through the remaining steps as our in-depth study of 2 Chronicles continues. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible Bus for another great study in God's Word. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming our president, Greg Harris, who's here to share some exciting progress in our mission to take God's whole Word to the whole world. So, hi, Greg.
Hey, Steve. Good to see you.
And what do you have for us today? I know it's in the continent of Africa. It's
you
a great story.
You are always one step ahead of me. That's what one of the many things I appreciate about you,
well, thank
Steve.
You.
You're right. We want to talk about a new ministry development just in early 2017. So it would be about a year ago now. We launched a new language called Luganda. And, you know, one of the questions we explore here, and I love that we get to tell our listeners the kind of behind the scenes. People probably wonder, how do you choose a new language?
Right.
There's thousands of new languages. Well, it's a somewhat formulaic, but very spiritually led process.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is we look for open doors. We look for opportunities when God brings us the right people.
Right. And this one was really outside the norm. I mean, we would typically go through Transworld
Radio, right,
or FEBC and say, hey, we want to get into this language. They'd start the search for their producer. This one happened in Southern California, north of San Diego, right?
One of our board members, and it's a long story that I'll condense because we don't have that much time, but it's a wonderful story. Unbelievers would call coincidences of these brothers from Uganda serving at a church while the one man's wife was studying in the U.S. and just met this other man who introduced these Ugandan brothers to a board member through the Bible. And
then
he introduced them to me. And they said, we would love to bring Dr. McGee's teaching into our country and into our language. And once we got to know these brothers, we said, we really want to do this. And that's how God led us to do it.
Right. And the two main men that were involved in that, which were, without going into the whole details, were Wilberforce and Michael.
That's right.
It was such a joy to have them in Pasadena earlier this month, I believe it was. And those of you that know the stereotype of Africa in terms of things just get done on African time.
Yes. Yeah.
And very difficult to go through a 5-day a week broadcast of Through the Bible and get through it in 5 years. And these guys are nailing it.
Yes, they are.
And they are on schedule, on track, and the Lord is just blessing the ministry.
They're very transparent with us. They send us detailed budgets, breakdowns of how the money is being spent. And we did send our board member to Uganda to not only to bless and encourage them, but to train them. And it's just been wonderful. And I think we have a couple of great responses that came early in this ministry.
Yeah, let me read the first one. This is from Samuel, who's the director of a nursery and primary school there. Through the Bible has started transforming people's lives in our community. In the present world, we really need this teaching. Preachers on the radios mostly talk about miracles and prosperity. Mm. You know, that's so true. The prosperity doctrine is just rampant throughout Africa. But now, your teaching is bringing us a deeper understanding of God Himself. I enjoyed learning for the first time about Noah and the flood in Genesis 6. I've started mobilizing others, especially in our church and school, to tune in and listen. At break time, we tune in for our staff to listen. Even on holidays, I tune in at my small shop, and an average of 20 people listen daily. That's to just his radio.
Yes.
May God bless the friends who bring this program to us.
And Steve, we don't have a lot of time, but I need to get this story in because it is so powerful. Pastor Mike, one of these two brothers, told us he has a church. He's a pastor of a church that within 2 weeks of going on the air, which means they basically had aired the guidelines for studying the scriptures, a prominent imam, and that is an imam would be like the leader of a local mosque. And this man apparently was very well known. He himself was on the radio teaching Islam. He showed up at the church. You can imagine what a stir that created and even some fear. What is this man doing here? And he said, listen, don't be afraid. I've been listening for the last few weeks. I woke up this morning. God told me, get up, get dressed, go to church and give your life to Christ as your Savior.
Isn't that incredible?
Isn't that amazing? It's so great.
It's wonderful. Let's pray as we begin our study. And hopefully you're encouraged to join our world prayer team as well. You can do that by going to ttb.org/pray and pray for the Luganda ministry. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the wonderful work that you're doing around the world, especially on the continent of Africa in the language of Luganda. Pray that you'd continue to bless it and bless our study now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come back here to 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, verse 13. Now, you will recall that we are talking about the revival that took place under the reign of Asa. Asa led in the first revival. He was a man, actually, at the very beginning, a man of great integrity. He was an outstanding man. He brought back the Word of God. But he always didn't continue in that connection. Now, we mentioned last time, and I think we should move on in this particular section here, that this man Asa, and I'll begin reading now at verse 13 of chapter 15, and if you have your Bible, we'll follow that, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. They swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. May I say that this was making it, I think, very harsh, but yet there was a ready response to it and a response from the heart, by the way. And this man, Asa, brought about many reforms at that time. Now, in verse 14, they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. And our whole thought last time was that if you seek the Lord, why, it means that he'll be found of you. Now we come to something here that is quite interesting. We've been talking about there are certain bridges to revival. The first bridge is there must be a knowledge of the Word of God. There must be that emphasis upon the Word of God. That is all important. We come here to a second bridge, and that is scriptural separation. That word separation is one of the most abused, not only words, but teachings that we have. Now listen to him here in verse 16. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. Now, this is indeed interesting. His own mother was engaged in idolatry. Now, I want you to notice something that's very important. She wasn't a friend of people who were engaged in idolatry. She was engaged in idolatry. That's the reason that he put her aside. Now, if she had had friends and she had been with them and they were idolatrous, that would have been no basis to set her aside. I get a little weary today of these people that because you happen to have been in a meeting years ago with someone whose methods you probably do not approve, but he's preaching the Word of God and God's blessing him, why, they feel like that you're not separated. My friend, may I say that today, that's not scriptural separation at all. But I want you to notice the stand of Asa. Now, every successful politician, he lets it be known. That is, he lets all the voters know that he's for mother love. And I tell you, you won't get in any controversy if you raise the question of mother love. The last person a man will turn against is his mother. And mother love is unanimously recognized today. It's approved and applauded. And a man who turns against his mother, no matter who she is or what she's done, he's some sort of a villain. Well, Asa removed his mother. And I'm sure that some of the fundamentalists applauded him for that. But will you notice here that although he put his mother out for engaging in idolatry, removed her from the throne, the place of influence, something else. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Now, Asa himself, you see, was separated unto God, but he permitted these high places. Now, he could have removed them, but he did not. This idea today that we're to straighten out the world and every individual and make them conform to our pattern and come through our little wicket gate, is, I think, not separation at all. I think it is the narrowest form of bigotry that we have today, and it's actually not separation. I feel like some folk today ought to get separated from themselves, and that would really be separation. If you want a revival, the place to begin is not by criticizing the other fella, especially somebody God's using. The thing to do, if you want revival, is not to look at the other fellas, for you to get in a room by yourself and draw a circle right around you, get in the middle of the room. Then you get right in the middle of that circle, and you say, Lord, begin a revival and let it begin inside this circle. And friends, as far as you and I are concerned, that is where revival will have to start. Now, will you notice, and we move on down into this 16th chapter here, we find in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. In other words, Baasha wanted to keep his people in his own kingdom up there and didn't want them to go down into Israel, that is, into Judah, where there was a revival going on. Now we are told, verse 2, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, sent the captains of his armies against the city of Israel. And so the thing that happened was this. Verse 6, then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Here is this man now that when Israel became a very formidable enemy, why, he turned to a former ally that they had, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. And what did that indicate? Well, God sent a prophet to Asa to rebuke him. Verse 7, now chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles. And at that time Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Now God judges Asa for what? For lack of faith. And the third bridge I think we have to cross to revival is faith. Faith in God. Not faith in methods. Not faith in a man. Not faith in a church. Not faith in a system. Not faith in an organization, but faith in God. Now notice this. There was civil war between Baasha, king of Israel, and he came up against Asa. Now Asa turned to Ben-Hadad of Syria, the ancient enemy. And this man, as Hanani reminded him, he says, you have evidence from God that God will deliver you. And he reminds him of the two instances in the past when the Ethiopians and the Lubans came up against him. God delivered them into his hand. Now, this man, at this moment, there's a lack of faith. You see, it's not only one act of faith that saves us. That's important. That's what justification by faith is. The moment that you put your trust in Christ, you're saved. But my friend, we're to live by faith. Paul, you remember, says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And then he uses one of the strangest expressions that, frankly, that is imaginable. He says, for therein is a righteousness of God revealed out of faith to faith, or from faith to faith. Now, what does he mean by from faith to faith? He means you're saved by faith and you're to live by faith. And I think very candidly, the eyes of the Lord, he says here, running to and fro in the earth. God's looking for a man today who will believe him, or a woman who will believe him. By the way, would you like to be that person who will believe God? Not become a fanatic, but on good, solid testimony, believe God. Well, you couldn't even come to him and please him without faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. And we today have a great company of witnesses. We're compassed about, the writer to the Hebrews says in 12:1, by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, because of that, let us run with patience the race that is set before, laying aside the sin. What sin is it? Unbelief. Let's not only be saved by faith, friends, let's live by it. You know, many of us live like agnostics, and yet we are, I think, saved folk. Will you notice this? Verse 10, then Asa was wroth with the seer, put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Now, this is amazing. This man would not accept that rebuke. Why? He didn't believe it. He didn't believe God either. And he had no real faith and dependence on God. Living without God means actually spiritual death for us. Be no way in the world for us to be used of God. Now, will you notice, God struck him with a disease. And you will notice in verse 12, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, I want you to notice that. Now, his disease became serious. His case was critical. And there's nothing wrong in going to the doctor. That's not the point. The writer here says he didn't turn to God in all of this. And I think it's just as important for a believer to go to God when you get sick as it is to call a doctor. I not only believe that, I think I'm a walking proof of that today. It's wrong in not going to God. It wasn't that there's something wrong in going to the doctor. There was something wrong in not going to God. He didn't turn to God at this time. May I say, when it was discovered that I had cancer, I went to I think he's the finest cancer specialist in Southern California, in our entire area. And I love the man. He's certainly done wonders for me. But he himself said it was God healed me. He's a Christian. He very candidly says that. And it's a remarkable case. Now, I'm not completely healed. I still have it. It's a misnomer to say I've been healed, but the spots have disappeared. But the point I want to make is that immediately when it was discovered I had it, I not only went to the doctor, I went to God in prayer, I tell you. And I not only did that, I went on this radio. And on every station we were on at the time, I said to friends, pray for me. And I didn't go to a faith healer. I went to God with it. I went to the great physician. My friend, I feel that there are two things when you get sick you ought to do. You ought to call the doctor, and you ought to call upon God. And did you know that there was a man that I think he's probably one of the most practical men that we have in the Bible? You know that's what he said to do? He says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And that's one thing, prayer. And then anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, that word anoint there is not the word that is ceremonial. This is not religious act. This is medicinal. Let him anoint him with oil. In other words, James says when you get sick, ask for prayer and call the doctor. And there's nothing quite as practical as that, my beloved. Now, the difficulty with Asa was he called the doctor. He didn't call upon God. Now, here's a man that has experienced revival, and yet he's not walking with God here. He's not believing God. My friends, there must be faith in God. Faith in God that takes our problems, our difficulties to the Lord and turns them over to Him and accept whatever answer He gives us. Because He hears and answers prayer, but He hears it and answers it His way. And you can be sure of one thing, if you turn it over to Him, you're going to get His will. And if you get His will, you get the best answer that you can get. In fact, lots better than sometimes we pray the prayer. Now, will you notice? And Asa slept with his fathers, and he died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors, divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. They burned a lot of candles for him. Now, may I say, this is Asa. It was a touch of revival. Now we're coming in the 17th chapter to the second great revival period, and it was much greater than the revival of Asa. It's the son of Asa now, Jehoshaphat. And this man was marvelously used of God and brought a great revival. Now, I want you to notice this because I think that it's very important because these are great revivals, and it's in the book of Chronicles, and this is the book that gives us God's viewpoint. This is what God thought was important during the reign of these men, of this entire period, was the revivals. Now, verse 1, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel, that against the enemy in the north. He placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and he set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. Now, he took precautions to protect his kingdom. Now, listen to this. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and he sought not unto Balaam. But you notice it says he walked in the first ways of his father, not the way that Asa became in his old age, but when he was a young king, trusting God, God used him. Now Jehoshaphat, a young king, he trusts in the Lord. He sought to the Lord God of his father, walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Now listen to this. This is a tremendous testimony. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places, groves out of Judah. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes and so on. I'm not going into that detail. Now will you notice? And then he sent Levites throughout the kingdom. And what did they do? Verse 9, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and he went about through all the cities of Judah and taught the people. You know what he did? He started a Through the Bible radio program. That's what Jehoshaphat did. And you want to know what that J in my name stands for? I signed my name J. Vernon McGee. And a great many people always ask me what the J stands for. And I generally give a very facetious answer. And so I'll give you one. It stands for Jehoshaphat. Because he's the first one that started a Through the Bible program. He sent the Levites. They didn't have radio. You can sit in a studio like I am now and make a tape. That's not the way he did it. He sent the Levites out. Not just 150 of them, but thousands of them throughout the kingdom to teach the Word of God. My friend, that's the way of revival. And until today, the church gets back to the Word of God, there'll be no real revival. The moving that's taking place outside of the organized church, it will eventually come to naught unless it's anchored in the Word of God. Now, some of it is anchored in the Word of God. I thank God for that. I could tell you some wonderful things happening today outside of the organized church. I can tell you some wonderful things happening inside the organized church. And in both instances, it's all rooted and grounded in the Word of God. That is what brings revival. This is the revival of Jehoshaphat, and next time we're going to take a good long look at the revival during this man's reign. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Once again, Dr. McGee's study points us back to the Word of God and the importance that we should place in reading, studying, memorizing, and meditating upon it ourselves. So we hope that the study of the Scriptures is becoming a habit in your own life. To encourage you in your efforts, we provide Dr. McGee's notes and outlines without charge. You can download them immediately at ttb.org/notes, or you can access all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines in our new resource called Briefing the Bible. To download your copy or have one sent in the mail, visit ttb.org/briefingthebible or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And be sure to join us tomorrow as we continue our 5-year journey through the Bible. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.